Psalm on Pew Bible page 433. Let us hear our Lord's word. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 7, and then continuing on at 21 through 26. And that is on your Pew Bible page 881. Let us hear the words, the word of the Lord. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry." So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. So they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. They prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship to his own place." An apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lights for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it would come to us and lead us, guide us, and keep us. We ask that it would open our hearts and minds to lead us and guide us for the days that are to come, as it has in the days that were. Be with us, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds on this Mother's Day to how your word is leading and guiding and keeping us. Amen. Have you ever read something in Scripture and thought, that is a really innocuous, just, why are you telling me this? This is full of a story that I didn't necessarily need to know. Maybe you feel it's a little boring. I know a lot of people have shared that the histories in Scripture, the books of Kings, are a little dull. As a history teacher before going into ministry, I understand. But the fact is, even what seems innocuous at the initial reading can be monumental as we look at it again and a little bit deeper. There really are no small moments in Scripture. There are no small times in which we read and the Spirit moves through us, because all stories in Scripture tell a story of God's relationship with God's people. And so we look at these small little stories like we have in Acts, and it tells us really much more than we think in the first encounter. Now, when we read our scripture today, we see the 11. And even then, it just feels a little weird. We've called them the 12 for so much in scripture. They are the 12 apostles. And yet here they are now as the 11. They've got 120 other believers gathered together with them. And they are in a place where they have to deal with the repercussions, the tangible, real repercussions of what Judas has done. Now, just think about this from a stand in their sandals perspective. There is so much going on in the life of the early church. They are starting to experience ministry. How are they going to be? How are they going to live? And they have to interact in that way with the reality of Judas's betrayal of Christ and what that means for the body of believers. He wasn't just a disciple, though. You think about that. He was one of the 12. He was a partner in ministry for the 12. When Peter goes and speaks, every moment you can imagine, he thinks of a moment where Judas was beside him, working with him. To call this an ordinary betrayal really doesn't kind of hit the mark, does it? Digest for a second the raw and real emotions that the disciples, the body of believers, has to deal with. Imagine you are one of the 120 gathered there. What is your thoughts about Jesus? Judas. What are you thinking about him?
Well, I could have done a better job than he did. I would have betrayed Jesus. The bar isn't set so high.
You know, that armchair discipleship sort of way. The fact is, the church is at a tripping point where they have to figure out how they're going to move forward. How are they going to do ministry as either the 11 or find a path forward to be the 12 again? Do they set their emotions aside, or do they move through their emotions? Now, as I peel back the layers here, there is so much for us to learn in this moment. As often happens in the life of the church, the history of the church, we get guidance for how to handle these moments. Sometimes we get really great examples. I'd like to think of this in that category. And then there are other times where we get less than ideal guidance from the history of the church towards how to move forward as the body of believers in these almost catastrophic moments. The church has to navigate this. They have to navigate this because this is only the first time they have to deal with a moment. How are they going to deal with the moments during the persecutions from Rome when they have friends who betray the church? When they have friends that they have stood beside for years who betray the church, and then, after the persecution has ended, try and become another part of the covenant community. How do they navigate that? Well, let's start with this moment. And that's, again, why there are no small moments in Scripture. Now, from a tangible perspective, what are the options here for the disciples? They can just be the 11. They are the 11 who were chosen by Jesus. That could be an option. They could interview the 120, who probably most of them are like, I'll take a hard pass on that, and just pick who's the warm body available. They could take from their perspective the two best candidates, the two best gifted for this role, and they can pray about it. They can look for God's guidance in this process. If you can't tell, the third option is the one that they choose to go with. But there are even more other options that they could take. You know, who's a friend of a friend of a friend that they could pull in? You know, there are so many ways to fill this vacancy that they are kind of making it up as they go. And yet they, without really setting and looking at the book of church order, so to speak, they go and they do and they follow in such a way that it gives us guidance for how we can do things in our way. They prayerfully look and consider. They take two, Matthias and Joseph. And after a long bout of campaigning and lobbying and many ballots, they didn't go that route. They looked at the gifts of those. They looked at their gifts. Who will best serve God through their gifts? What were the gifts that seemingly Judas had? Who has similar gifts? God, show us, help us to see what you can see. And then they cast lots, they take the names, and they pray. They pray over it. Prayer is so central to this. Prayer is asking God to guide the process forward for the church. The body of Christ, through God, through the Spirit, sets up a roadmap for how difficult times can be navigated through prayer, trust in God's guidance, the ability for the Holy Spirit to walk beside the body of believers. It's a beautiful, Spirit-filled moment, this is. Now, I know what you're going to say. Pentecost is next week. I do understand that Pentecost is next week and Mother's Day is today. Also, again, make sure you wear your red and bring in your geraniums. It's not quite Christmas, it's not quite Easter, but it sure looks nice. But the fact is that when we look at this moment, Mother's Day should and could be with us on this. And let me get you there. Because the body of believers, as they navigate life with the Spirit, aren't always going to do what God sends them to do, aren't always going to do what is best for the body of believers. And so they have to have that trust in the Spirit to go and do. This is not a small moment as they navigate this. Imagine, if you will, if they just appoint the wrong person. The wrong person who will turn the church through turmoil. You have to deal with this difficult moment. The church has to navigate this difficult time. You can't just put it off until the end of whenever. That's reality. Because if you put off the decision to deal with filling Judas's seat at the table, are you ever going to fill it? Are you going to be underserved as you lead the church forward? Are you going to never deal with the raw emotions? It sets up a process. And every step along the way, the Spirit is there. Just like our moms were for us. just like the Spirit is there for us. Now, the reality is we have the benefit of hindsight, looking backwards. We can look back and say, oh, this worked out just the way it should have. The church did everything right. But again, we can't look at these moments in Scripture and say, well, they got it right, without understanding the raw step of faith that they had in that moment. When I went into ministry, my family gave me a bookmark. And I know you're saying, oh, geez, bookmark, ooh, bunch of cheapskates. But the message on the bookmark was what mattered. And the message says, faith is taking that first step on a stairway, even though you can't see anything else on the stairway. It's taking that first step. Well, guess what? Think about the faith that the early church had in saying, you know what? We don't know how we're going to fill this. We don't know how we're going to go forward, but we are going forward with God. We are asking God's Spirit to be with us, to parent us, to guide us, to lead us. And that's how we're going forward. Part of parenting is guiding and caring and understanding that you are not always going to be listened to. It's about those who are being taught and guided, being willing to listen and willing to grow. And you must have faith in the one that you are relying on, the Spirit, your parents, that they are looking out for you, guiding you in the right and correct direction. If you don't have faith in the Holy Spirit to get you there, what are you going to put your faith and trust in? There's so many similarities between the role in which a mother, a parent plays in our lives and the role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Now, I understand that in here must be the caveat that not all of us may have had the best of relationships with our mothers, or may have had a non-mother be our mothers. That is. But it is significant in that, like a parent, the Holy Spirit guides us, leads us, nurtures and nourishes us, and has our best interest at heart. And isn't that truly one of the best and most significant ingredients to the relationship between parent and child, Holy Spirit and believer? Faith. The idea that you have the faith that your parent is looking out for you. The idea that the Spirit is looking forward for you. No, you don't know what else is along that stairway. You don't know how many other steps there are as you navigate it. But you have faith that the Spirit is with you as you take one more step up. Today is about mothers, but it's also all about faith. It's about how we faithfully trust in the Spirit as we trust in our mothers, that their interest that they put before us is our best. As the Spirit puts God's preferred future before us. And so, brothers and sisters, happy Mother's Day. Celebrate or remember those who have filled that role. Celebrate and remember the gift of the Spirit. And celebrate, above all, the faith that exists in your life that is nourished and given. May we never forget that, like our mother, when we get knocked down, when we get stuck, it will be there with us. We need to listen to it as we should have done with mom and dad. Take a moment to celebrate the Holy Spirit as we celebrate our mothers. Amen. Brothers and sisters,